What if everything we thought we knew was wrong? What if a deeper truth has been hidden in plain sight, buried in ancient languages, masked by mistranslations, and distorted over time? A truth that challenges belief, rewrites history, and reshapes everything we thought we understood about the origins of humanity. Jordan Maxwell, known for his decades of research into religion and hidden systems of power, dedicated his life to uncovering how ancient knowledge continues to shape the world around us, from symbolism and scripture to politics and control. In this episode, Creating Man in Our Image, from the Gaia original series Secret Life of Symbols, he examines one of the most overlooked details in the Bible, the Hebrew word Elohim. Typically translated as God, Jordan claimed that Elohim is a plural term in Hebrew, one that actually means gods. His interpretation challenges long-held assumptions about divine creation and sets the stage for a deeper look at what these ancient texts may have been telling us all along.
This is Secret Life of Symbols.
If we go back to Genesis 1, the very first chapter in the Bible, Genesis 1, so many people today believe and have been told, and that's why they believe it, that God made us, God made man. And they will point to the scripture that says God created Adam and Eve. And then they will say, see, there it is, God made man. But that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say that God made man. In the beginning, the first chapter of Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But that's not exactly what it says in the Hebrew. This is why we are emphasizing that it says God created the heavens and the earth. But in Hebrew, the word God is El, E-L. So if we were to read this first chapter, the first verse, in Hebrew, it would say, in the beginning, El created the heavens and the earth. But that's not what it says in Hebrew. It says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, not El. In the beginning of the heavens and the earth, which are now. I came across this many, many years ago, talking with a very impressive, well-known rabbi. He was the one that put me onto this when I was very young, that God did not create man. There's nowhere in the Old Testament, or what you call the Old Testament, where it says God created man. No, it just doesn't say that. And so I began to look at this, and he gave me all the ideas, you know, a long time ago. So the first thing we need to look at is, as I said, the word is incorrect. God is El in Hebrew, but it's Elohim. And Elohim means the gods in the plural, more than one God. So the correct understanding of Genesis 1:1 is that in the beginning, the gods created the heavens and the earth. We need to define our terms first about God, and what does the word God mean in the Old Testament Hebrew? Here it is for you. This is God in the Hebrew is Elohim. Gods, more than one. So in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. So it's more than one God. But here's the important part. We see it again. This is from another Bible translation where the word God shows up, and then it says in Hebrew, it's Elohim, which is plural, more than one. So God Elohim is plural. The word Elohim, on the top it says the word Elohim is a plural word. In Hebrew, the plural form of the noun ends in I-M-O-T. Elohim is a plural form. On the bottom, it says it is interesting to note that even though Elohim is plural, the Hebrew dictionary still translates it God instead of gods. This is what has confused people around the world. because the actual word in the Bible is God's. And this is why you will see in a lot of the reference works, they will make the distinction and show you this, the plural form of El. Now, when you go to the actual scriptures, in the Hebrew Bible and the Jewish Bible, it says, Elohim, we shall make man in our image and after our likeness. But it actually says in Hebrew, Elohim said, we, W-E meaning more than one, we will make man. Remember the Moses with the Ten Commandments, where Moses receives the law and the Ten Commandments from God. And what is the first commandment? The first commandment says, I am the Lord your God who have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me. He didn't say there are no other gods. He just said you will have no other gods before me. The emphasis I was told many years ago was Rabbi pointed out, is that God is saying to the Hebrew people with the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God. You picked me. So there's a group. What I'm saying is that picture, say, 12 or 14 different gods, and each one is equal to to every other one. But if you pick one and you make a deal with that one God, then you have a relationship with that God. And so this is why God says to the Hebrews, I am the Lord your God, and I shall not have any other gods before me. So basically, it's like a young man telling his fiance, you know, there are many other young men out there like me, but I'm supposed to, you know, I'm going steady with you, so I don't want to have any other young men in my place. So God was a jealous God, but it's understandable that there were many other gods. So, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He didn't say there weren't any. Now, if you read from Exodus 20, verse 3, this is just some of the ways that it is expressed in different translations. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes, have no other gods. Then in the Hebrew, the third one down is from the Hebrew Bible, and it says, thou shalt have no Elohims in my presence. So the ancient Hebrews realized that the word was mentioning more than one God. But it's the Christianity today that has caused that Elohim to be brought down to a singular term. And there's a lot of talk about this now, and it's starting to come out that there's a lot of question about what does Elohim mean. Well, it just means more than one deity. Judaism is said to be a first monotheistic religion. Mono meaning one, theistic meaning the study of God. But in point of fact, Judaism is not a monotheistic religion. It's the correct term is Heno, H-E-N-O, Heno theology. Heno theology means picking one God out of a group. And so if you pick, as I said, if you pick one God out of the group, then he is your God and you are his people. It doesn't mean that that's the only God in the whole universe. No, it's just your God. Deuteronomy 11:16 says, but be careful not to let yourselves be seduced so that you turn aside serving other gods and worshiping them. So the Jewish God, the God of the Jews, was telling them, yes, there are other gods, but don't be worshiping them. First, you need to know that the people we call the ancient Hebrews were not Hebrews as such. They were, in fact, Phoenician or Canaanites. And this is where you can trace back in the encyclopedias and in the dictionaries about ancient Cana and the ancient area we call today Israel and Lebanon, that whole area. They were called Canaanites. Here we have another article. This one was from a Jewish magazine. It talks about it is the faith of the people of Judah, and it's the developed faith of the Semitic people known as Hebrews or Israelites. It is recognized as the first religious tradition noted for its monotheism. Then it goes on to say, the Hebrew tradition did not begin as monotheism. So then we find out that all the people of the Middle East were anything but monotheistic. They were, the so-called Hebrews were, in that time, henotheistic, meaning picking one God out of many. Here at Liberty University, they had articles about henotheism toward the assessment of a divine plurality in the Hebrew Bible. I'm hoping to show you that this is understood in many Bible reference works, the word henotheism and what it actually means. The God of Israel and ancient peoples growing understanding from henotheism to monotheism. We see this happening with the human race for thousands of years. Things change. One religion begins and has a particular understanding of God, and give it 1,000 years and that changes, and add another 1,000 years and it changes again. Until today, we have a whole new understanding that there was only one God in the universe and he created man, which in point of fact is not true. The one article in the middle that was read, it says, we have previously established that the mighty ones are the sons of God, the assembly of messengers, and that Yahweh was a part of these messengers.
If you would like to watch the full episode, available exclusively on Gaia, follow the link in the description. Or head to our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifth kind. Next, Jordan Maxwell sits down with George Norrie on the Gaia show, Beyond Belief.
We've got a lot of celestial objects that are tied into religion as well. How come?
Well, especially Saturn. Saturn is very, very important to world religions.
All world religions.
It's very important because Saturn was the inhibitor, and he was referred to as the Lord of the Rings. Well, of course, Saturn is Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, right.
They're still making movies in Hollywood about Lord of the Rings. And so today,
Did the celestial objects lead religion into the direction that it's gone into, or vice versa?
Well, I think that somebody led us into this, and I believe, it's my personal opinion, that we have extraterrestrial or other world knowledge that's been given to us. I mean, Nikola Tesla said that. He said that all of his inventions, he would leave a pad and pencil on his bed at night, and the next morning would be an invention.
Right.
And so somebody was leading him. Well, somebody's leading us and telling us about the gods and the planets and who they are and what they do, and we call it astrology. No. Where are we getting this information from? Somebody is guiding our destiny, and we don't know who it is, but we're just following. We just, as people do, they just follow.
We're sheep.
And somebody is guiding our destiny because we don't understand.
We don't know our homework. Do you know who that somebody might be?
Well, the scriptures talk about, I have a video called Cosmocratorus or Cosmocrat. And it's dealing with this very subject of who these entities are who are leading the destiny of the whole world.
The Illuminati?
The Illuminati, so to speak.
Angels, are they symbolic?
No, I think angel simply means messenger of God. See, El in Hebrew is God. And so angel is a messenger of El or a messenger of God. What God? Who's God? Now you open up a can of worms.
Another can. Eric von Däniken talked about angels.
Exactly.
We have figures like angels. An angel, in our normal knowledge, is a being, a messenger coming from God, down from the sky. We represent angels with wings, with halos around their head. But these angels were not fine guys. These angels had sex with some humans. These angels were not spirits. These angels had war among each other, described in other texts. So we must change the word angel into the word extraterrestrial. And an archangel is one of the leaders of one of the group of the extraterrestrials. We must change only about 10 words in the old so-called holy writings, and we change the complete meaning. And exactly this takes now place in our time.
Are they extraterrestrial, Jordan?
Yes, they have to be. You ask any child, do you believe in God? Yes, where is God? He's out there.
Up there.
Well, if he's out there, it means he's not from Ohio. He's out there. That's extraterrestrial. And then, do you believe in angels? Yes. Well, where are they? They're out there with God.
So, where are we headed as humans?
Mankind? Well, first of all, we have no understanding at all about religion and theology. You hear it talk about Lucifer. Everybody thinks Lucifer is the devil. Well, actually, in the book of Revelation 22:16, Jesus says, I, Jesus, I am Lucifer. I didn't say that. He said that. It's in the Bible.
I got to look for that.
Yeah, it's in Revelation 22. It's the last chapter in the last book of the Bible.
Is there hope for mankind, Jordan, in your opinion?
Well, it's going to, there's only going to be a small people who are awakening, who want to know. Most people don't want to know. They're having too much fun just being human, going to parties and kicking footballs and having fun with whatever they're doing and running after material possessions. And nobody wants to know until it's time to leave this world. And when you finally are ready to leave this world, now you're thinking about, where am I going? Well, now it's a lousy time to start thinking about that. You should have thought about that a long time ago and figure out who you are, where you've come from, and now where are you going? And why were you even here to start with?
So how do we create a better world for people?
I think first of all, it's going to require the whole human family, which sounds impossible. The whole human family is going to have to take another look at what is called humility. You're going to have to be humble enough to admit you don't know everything. Maybe you should understand religion, understand government. Where do courts come from? Why do we have police? Why do we have the world we have today? It's because we don't understand where things come from. I mean, why do you have police? Why do you have to go to court? You play basketball on a court. You play tennis on a court. How do you play tennis on a court? You play with a racket. Come on. Once you understand words and terms, you begin to see how the system that we live under is set up. And it's been set up a long time before your grandmother was ever born.
And you may not like the way it's set up.
That's too bad. You came in the last 5 minutes of the movie, and you don't know what the whole story of the movie is all about. And so you need to sit through the next show and see how it came about and how you come to understand and believe what you do.
Can we make it better?
Make it better if we're humble enough to. This is very important. We can make it better if we're humble enough to agree that we don't know everything and that our religion isn't the most important religion on the earth. God is too big for one religion. And when you understand that, when you talk about God, like my one professor said, you need to define your terms. What are you talking about? Because when you use the word God, that may not be what I'm thinking about God. And so we need to be humble enough to understand you don't know everything. You need to start researching and reading and studying and go back if you care to do that. Unfortunately, most people don't care to know.
No, they don't.
And so I have said so many times, to change mankind ultimately is like trying to empty the Pacific with a cup, because it's only a handful of people who really care and want to know. But the masses of the earth, they don't know anything about it and couldn't care less. As long as they're eating and watching television and they're happy, as long as their belly is full.
If you would like to watch the full interview, available exclusively on Gaia, follow the link in the description, or head to our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifth kind. Thanks, and see you next time.